Tune in to the Family Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them. They're gonna kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human beings.
The machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest! You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hello, everyone. This is the new American Dream radio show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio. That's at revolution.radio. It's a listener-supported station, so don't forget to show it some love. All right. Well, this is a very special night for the New American Dream. This is our 13th anniversary. We had our first show on February 3, 2011. And at that time, my co-host was Mike Palachek, and he is returning to the show as a guest host tonight, and he should be here on this call. Mike, are you there?
I'm here, Chuck. How are you doing?
All right. It works.
It works.
All right. So nice to have you back for a night. You know,
thanks for asking, Chuck.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to read a little bit of this this thing that you put in with, because it's so cool. So this is an intro similar to what we used to do for many, many years. It's again time. The New American Dream radio show. The American Russian novel, All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour. We have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra. Some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty. Their relatives have sent them to Siberia with a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink and listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice. In 2008, the New American Dream website was started. And in 2011, the radio show. the premise has always been that there are no wrong questions, and we should not feel we're doing anything wrong by asking questions. Those should be allowed, even encouraged. We're allowed to ask all the questions we have. And so if someone willing to listen and provide answers, there'd be no need for despair, dysfunction. We have the proof. I'm going to cut short at that point, Mike. And I would like to go ahead and bring in our first guest, who, incidentally, was our very first guest, Abba Burt. It seemed quite fitting to have her in on the on this anniversary show. I'm very glad to have her. Abba is a poet and a regular on this show. I'm going to add her in right now. I think she's joining us from California. We shall see. Mike, what have you been up to all this time when you weren't doing the show?
It's been since summer of 2019, I think.
Hey, Chuck.
And that's about 4 years, I think it was. I've been doing a lot of dog walking. 4 years of dog walking.
Okay, well, that's good. I think I heard Abba there. Hello, Abba.
What a nice way to be welcomed into the show is to hear Chuck and Mike talking away like brothers and to hear Mike say, I've been walking a lot of dogs.
Hello, Abba. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
How about you? Good. Sure? I'm so happy to hear that you were going to be on the show tonight.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. It's been a long time. Yeah. What are
good.
You? Are you? You're in Maryland, right?
No, I'm not.
You're back
in California?
California.
Yes, I am.
Oh my gosh! So you went back?
Well, I'm always going around. You know, I've been doing I do a lot of traveling, and there's reasons I have to be in California and reasons I have to be in certain places. Some places I choose to be and love going. Other places I have to be there for one reason or another. But there are worse places on the planet. And, you know, it's like if everybody just deserts the, you know, places that are really not doing the right things, like, you know, let's say, okay, we're unhappy with our government, let's just leave from California, let's just leave from New York. Okay, I understand why people do it, you know, I get it, but I don't think that's the long-term solution, you know. I think you have to, because you're basically giving up and letting them win when you just walk away and give up. But I mean, I also see having lost battle, you know, that if you feel like the battles are lost and there's no hope to win and you want to start over somewhere else, there's that, you know, there's that. Some people are given no choice but to leave California. They become refugees because it's just so, it's like they push people out of here on purpose. It's like, if you create policies that are going to send your biggest industries out of here, you got it. I mean, you know you're doing that before you do it. You know, I mean, it's not like it's going to be a surprise. So it's all manufactured. It's all created, like all the crises are, like everything is.
Yeah.
Right.
Is it different than now than it was during COVID, or maybe it is COVID considered over
totally,
there or not?
It's totally different. I mean, I don't want to say it's not like it never happened, but, you know, you still see the residue of the stupid stickers on the floor, 6 feet nonsense. I mean, you still have some of the insanity hanging around by insane people. Yeah. But that's everywhere, you know. anywhere you go, you're going to still see people wearing masks and thinking they're going to get the next disease. You know, this just gives those people a reason to do it and to make it socially acceptable. But it is an illness to be always expecting illness and to be basically like a hypochondriac. It's like that's what the government has inflicted on people with this COVID nonsense is a nation of hypochondriacs afraid of nothing.
In Minneapolis, there's still Pfizer ads on the radio. Is it that way in California?
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't listen to the radio much, but yes. I mean, when you're just running around, you know, let's say doing errands and hearing things, you overhear it. I mean, Big Pharma is big government. It's Big Brother Mafia. They run the world. There's no getting away from it. They own the TV networks. They own the newspapers. They own the medical schools. They own the school. They own everything. There's no getting away from it. Here in the US.
I thought it was just Minneapolis.
Oh.
No.
You got to get out more, Mike.
I do.
Do you see a lot of pharmacies and so forth? Get your free flu shot here. Get your free COVID here. Get your free whatever shot. Come on, get another shot. Do you see that at all the pharmacies in your area?
Oh, God. I mean, you see it at, practically at hair salons. I mean, it's any way they can get people and to trick people into this, they do it. And, I mean, to me, it's so obvious and pathetic, but people still fall for it. And that's the thing. We can see through it, but a lot of people can't. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I still see people driving by themselves with a mask on. And I thought that was also
sorry,
just a Minneapolis
that is,
thing.
Yeah, I when I see that, I have to laugh. It's, I mean, really.
I don't see how people can breathe for 30 seconds in one of those things. Much less sitting in a car by yourself and already having, you know, being, the insanity of the human race never ceases to shock and disappoint.
Yeah. You got your new podcast, right, Ava, or is that still going?
Yeah. I've been waiting for both of you to be my guests. What are you saying, Mike?
Okay.
Sounds great, but I would love
to.
I'll send, you know what, Mike? I'll send it to you. Oh, this is I got a couple episodes up, but
okay.
I'll send them. Yeah, I will send them to you. And open invitation for both of you anytime.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it'd be great. But it's like people are sitting on the edge of their seats wondering what they're going to throw out next. That's what it is. Is it disease X? Is it a war here? Is it a war there? Is it this crisis? Is it this crisis? Oh, look, another war over here. Oh, look, another disease.
Mm-hmm.
What if we took all the governments away? None of this would exist. It would all be gone, and we would all be living in relative peace and harmony with each other.
Yeah.
People would create their own natural laws according to natural human law and live at least as peace as you can. I mean, I don't think humans are peaceful, you know, completely peaceful beings. If we were, we wouldn't be living like this. But I think we can learn to be. It's like you can... And we can also adapt and evolve into that. And some people are there already. There's some, but you know, you go to a animal shelter and you see a cat and a dog, and they have, you know, doesn't, you know, aggressive, not good with other cats, not good with other dogs, you know, best to be alone animal. You know, and then you bring the animal, somebody adopts the animal, and the animal turns into this loving, wonderful being that wasn't what the place had described because their behavior changed because they were in a different environment. Mm. And humans are the same. If you put humans in peaceful environments, you know, loving, peaceful places, they'll adapt. And I mean, not everybody will. There's, you know, it's like there, you have warmongers. I think it's just in people's DNA, or they're just born here to be troublemakers or be warrior, whatever. But I think for the most part, humans, just based on common sense and natural law, we want to live in peace and harmony because it works better for everybody that way. I mean, it's common sense.
Yep.
You know, and the fact that we don't have that, in fact, we have the opposite. Okay, well, let's dig. Where's the problem? Who's causing it? Let's eliminate the problem.
Yep.
Right?
Right,
right, Mike?
Makes sense.
Yep, right. I vote yes.
The implementation might be a little tricky, but yeah.
Well, let's start right now. The three of us, you know, we won't start with any hierarchies. There's no president, vice president. We're a panel, and we're here to change it all up and say, here, you know, let's get out the red pen and, you know, start the layoffs. You know, put re-industry people. You know, if you were in the creating drugs and creating problems for the world in the form of military and drugs, and then you need to give back to society by becoming janitors, cleaning toilets, planting trees, helping animals,
reading poetry,
planting gardens. Fixing people's toilets. I mean, you know, have these people not just, I mean, I don't think you should just line them up and kill them. Like, make them productive members of society since they did so much destruction. They should give back. They were so willing to work on the dark side for a paycheck, you know, but then when the bill comes due, what do they, you know, how can they pay up? That makes sense, that it's not just becoming more of a burden on society to put in, you know, jailing people, putting people in jail is really expensive, and it doesn't reform people, and it's really inhumane and brutal. Like, it doesn't help people.
No.
And,
no,
you know, not everybody deserves to be helped, but like, if we have a huge amount of society that are working in industries that are completely dysfunctional and immoral and unethical.
Well,
and in a new society, how would we re-employ people so that we would have a functional society?
I
create
would
new
take
jobs,
exception
create new economies.
One, I take exception to one thing you said, Ava. I think, in fact, everybody does deserve a chance to be helped. So, yeah, even those who... Yeah, might not really deserve a chance to be helped. Well, they still deserve a chance to be helped.
You think even this full on like psychopaths, and you think like Jeffrey Dahmer or Ronald Reagan?
They still deserve a chance to be.
But you don't think they've already been given many chances?
Doesn't matter.
So we should just enable their behavior by continuing to...
I didn't say enable their behavior.
Right.
Limit the damage. You limit, you know, what they can do. But try to help them somehow. Make them think differently. Help them to allow what I think is deep down is in there, the basic love for other people. Let it out.
So you think somehow they should be rehabilitated to the point where they're not that way anymore? Where we have the if you can do all this nonsense technology, I mean, I think if this stuff doesn't change really soon, humans aren't going to make it another 10 years. I don't think this is just out of control. This whole nonsense technology stuff is just, it's murdering us literally. And if we don't get a handle on it, it's, you know, but in the survivals, whoever survives this mess is, we're going to rebuild. You know, or if their plan fails and just somehow people get up and say, no, no more. But that's not going to happen. People are too dumb by now. Too many chemtrails, too many vaccines, too many McDonald's. You know, people's brains are, I mean,
and too much,
people are so.
Too much dumbing down and learning by rote instead of people learning to think.
Right. To me, bad schools and, you know, are you a transgender? Is Chuck a girl? Does Mike feel like a woman? I mean, intellectually, for a society, that's a big sign of a collapse of a society.
Mm.
I mean, that's a bad sign. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, okay, we see it's coming. We've all known it. We've been talking about it for a long time. So we have to step out of the way while it crashes down around us, we'll be prepared to rebuild into something much better and have it already planned. Like, don't plan it when you get, you know, it's like plan the vacation before you leave for vacation. You know, it's like plan it so that, because it's inevitable.
Hmm.
And what can we create that's new and better?
Yeah.
Right? What would you do, Mike and Chuck? What's your feedback?
What would I do? I don't know. I'm not used to talking, I guess, that much. I'm used to walking the dog, so this is new to me. I'm just
I know you have thoughts on this.
Well,
we
can drop you in the deep end here, Mike.
Huh?
We think about it, Mike, and think about it and email me what your ideas. I know. Email me your ideas.
Okay.
And we'll talk about them at some point. But what about you, Chuck? What do you think?
well, like, okay. You're looking for an actual action plan? I don't know. You know, you're right.
Let me repeat the question. Let me repeat it again, because it was vague and we got a little bit off track with other stuff.
Yeah.
In a new world, when this crumbles and we're building, you know, building our new garden in the form of society in the world, and Chuck was one of the managers, what would he do to make a better world?
Hmm. Okay. Well, one, he would empower individuals somehow in, people to value each other and themselves, because failure to respect ourselves and like ourselves is one of the big problems, I think, of our modern times, that we have lost. We do so many crazy things with, you know, like you say, the technology and so forth, that we lose track of the fact that we're really pretty cool people, and mostly humans are pretty cool people if you let them be. And so I would want to build some framework to let people be themselves, and not trying to fit into a framework that somebody else set up.
Right. Not a system of hierarchical slavery. Hey, what, Mike?
I've got something. I think you'd have revolution, violent or not. You'd have to stop what's going on, and I'm not for violent. You can't say out loud you're for violent revolution, but, you know, it's kind of in the back of your mind. But then you come to this, the thing that they ran up against in the Russian Revolution was, you know, they were for equality for all. And then look what that turned into. I mean, what I'm saying is you would come, you have revolution and you come smack dab against struggle and you'd come up against the human condition. And it's just going to be, it's going to be struggle, you know. And, but the thing right now is that what we have now is not working, and it's, and the people in control are, I guess we can have to say they're bad people. Not that we're good people, but they are bad people. And what they're doing is somehow we have to come up with whatever it is to stop. And but when we take over, it's going to be tough sledding, you know, no matter what.
Well, I think it, if it keeps going on the same course and nobody, we all just, you know, take it lying down and take it, but it's possible that it could change course and not happen. But yeah, like we're saying, we can't really trust or depend on humans these days to do really, you know, at least in the environments that they're in, because they're too scared. And you
well,
have
that's one
a
thing.
Good
we
portion
got
of the world.
We're scared. That's real evident. We're all scared, and I think that's just too bad. I mean, we have to somehow get over that. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that exactly. And if people could, you know, drop their fears and tap into the courage of it, and why it's important, because
you'd have to learn how to understand voting machines. That's another important thing, you know, because that, I mean, it is, we just can't, if that's what we're going to run up against every time, what the heck?
Let's take out the dysfunctional piece and the poison in the system. It's like, okay, if you have, you know, something on the plate that's the food poisoning, you take it off the plate. If you have the problem in the machine, you know, whatever the problem is, you eliminate it. Like, what if you just took the voting machines away? Then the problem goes away.
Yeah. But
what if we just took away Big Pharma? All these problems go away. What if we took big governments away? All these problems magically disappear.
Magic. That's the idea. That was the key word right there. We need magic.
Yeah, we could use some magic. Yeah.
Well, it's us. I mean, we are the magic, and it's up to us to do it. And it does require courage. And you would have the first few rows mowed down. People would die. There would be people killed. Mm-hmm. But you would take the people that would be willing to give their lives up. But you have these, you know, you have these soldiers that are here fighting these silly wars. They're not, I commend their courage to go out there. Can you imagine going out there and actually, you know, fighting these stupid wars for these psychopaths for over nothing? Where they could be fighting over stuff that's real, that's good, and they're not doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And they're trained to do so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a defensive war, it would be way different than anything we've ever come across in our lifetimes.
Would they even know how to do it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Or should they? But that's another question.
Hopefully the question is they won't have to, and it, you know, it won't happen. But, I mean, they...
I don't know. If we get invaded,
we didn't leave any time for a poem, Abba.
Hard to imagine any defensive strategy when you look around the streets of America and the veterans are homeless and completely destitute. And you think a organization like that is going to be able to defend itself? It can't even defend its own.
Mm.
So there's our answer, unfortunately.
Abba, do you have any poems? Or do you?
we're down. It's already 29 after.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's a little late. But
it's probably a little
late.
Next
time, and
I hope, Mike, that you feel. What was that?
Does Mike know about the poetry special? And
I don't know.
It's like two
Mike
hours of all.
And
poetry.
Listeners, we have a poetry special coming up. We've done one the fifth Thursday, every fifth Thursday for the last year or so. And the next one is going to be on a day that only occurs every 4 years, February 29th.
Oh,
so this is an opportunity to hear some great poetry from a number of different people, and it's kind of a panel format. So I'm glad you mentioned that, Ava.
I'm glad that you mentioned it was leap year, because I didn't realize that, and that will be on that night. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing. I don't remember. I don't even remember when the last leap year was, but this is great. That's great news. So, Mike, you can tune in. Chuck does a fantastic job of hosting this poetry special on every fifth Thursday now, and a lot of poets come, and they all love it, and everybody reads, and we share, we talk about the poem, and we chime in little things, we have a talk. It's really nice. If you,
that's a cool idea.
Of, from the archives. Tune in. I guess it's this month, so in a couple weeks, you know, we'll send you a reminder.
Who do you get? You got Rex Butters?
Yep.
We got
Rex Butters. And we gave you a shout out, Mike, because if it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't have made it on this show. And I wouldn't have met Chuck. And Rex, if it hadn't been for Rex is the one that met you and introduced me to you. And Rex got a spot on the New American Dream Radio show too now. So he's on
cool.
the spot.
Yeah.
All because of you.
Way to go, Mike, huh?
Way to go, Mike.
Well, you know, this
I remember
whole
meeting
show was your idea,
Rex
too.
And, what's that?
The whole show was your idea, too. You came up with the idea. You said, hey, Chuck, what do you think about doing a radio show? I said, a radio show? What's that? It went on.
And you made it work. You made it work.
Well, we made it
work. You guys are a fantastic duo. I mean, the shows have been absolutely incredible. And we talked about this. And hopefully we can make it happen to a degree. But get all the past shows and put them up on Rumble and Odyssey and even YouTube as long as they'll.
Mike's been
as long
talking
as they don't
about
get reported.
I'm going to go ahead and
material.
Okay.
How do you do it on Rumble? Do you have to have Rumble and Odyssey? Do they take just audio? They'll do that?
Yeah. Well, what you do is you put up like a stream of like photos, you know, for it's like you do the audio, but then you put like the emblem and, you know, a picture of you, a picture of Chuck, and then, you know, just a slideshow. If you want, you can just have one solid graphic. But, yeah, you can do audio on all those channels.
On
a lot
Rumble?
Of people do that. Yeah.
I was thinking about Brighton. But
Abba and Mike, I have just added Philip Ferrugio to the show. Philip's joining us from Port Orange, Florida. And, you know, this second half hour of the show is generally his. But we're all going to stay on. You know, I think Philip's going to read his column, and then let's all stay on and talk.
Okay,
Philip,
ready?
Yeah, welcome.
Oh boy, that was a good intro. Anyway, who cares? I got my gadget here. You got a government that is run by a two-party con job. You have one side that borders on outright fascism, if not a return to Germany, circa 1932. You have the other side, the politically correct one, that also sucks on the teat of this military-industrial empire. When it comes to complete nationalized healthcare system or any form of that dreaded word, socialism, like Pontius Pilate, they wash their hands of it. The former party rushes to come down hard on LGBTQ citizens and women who want the choice to end a pregnancy. They don't want that nasty history of American slavery to be served to our youth in classrooms or through books. They like the fact that less than 10% of American workers belong to unions, while the latter party just does squat to resolve the economic sin. But don't worry, dear fellow citizens, you have your electronic handheld gadget and earplugged music to nurture you. For today's male populace of America, don't think twice about how deeply you are being knifed by this super rich driven empire. To take from Rick in Casablanca, we'll always have sports. With those gadgets in hand or on the television or computer screen, you can have 24/7 sports with the added caveat of gambling on any or all of it. Who gives a rat's rear end at what Hamas did to the Israelis or the genocide of Gaza that Israel retaliated with? Who gives another rat's rear end to what is happening there or in the Ukraine and all your taxpayer money going down those two rabbit holes to subsidize neo-Nazi governments in both places? We got to run to the Super Bowl to concentrate our minds and in many cases our wallets. I'm sure that Americans' gadget-conscious women have plenty to take their minds off of what really should matter. So, the mainstream embedded in empire media drowns us with Trump, Trump, Trump on the Democratic Party-driven stations, while the Biden, Biden, and Hunter Biden rhetoric floods the Republican Party-driven stations. All the rest of meaningful news and dialogue becomes minutia. All that matters to the half of the eligible voters is November 2024, and who will win the right to represent the super rich? Yes. And unfortunately, it is important to this writer. Well, let's put it this way. If the Republicans get enough power in 2025, we will see 1933 Germany in many respects. The handlers of the Democratic Party know this. Thus, they continue to do as little as possible to implement viable progressive actions. Anybody have a banana? Thank you.
Well, thought provoking as always, Philip.
Anybody have a banana?
Yeah, you want a banana.
Banana Republic.
Hey, that was great, Philip. That was the ending was great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All these images flooded in.
Yeah, all the money comes flooding in, right?
All the clowns and circus shows.
There you go.
All the clowns, all the everything. Wow. It's like
here.
it's really sad, isn't it, folks? I mean, tell the truth. It really is sad. I mean.
It's dangerous and pathetic, and unbelievably, we need to get up and change it. That's where it's at. Beyond sad.
Well, you're right. It is beyond sad. It's actually horrific.
Tragedy.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Say, Phil, how you doing?
Oh, hi.
This is Mike.
That's Mike.
Oh, Mike, how are you, Mike? Duluth, Minnesota. Downtown Duluth, Minnesota, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Palachuk. Mike, what's the temperature tonight in Duluth?
Well, I don't know because I'm in Minneapolis now.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a little bit warmer, you think, or what? Not much. Right?
It's warm. It's like 40s and 50s these days. I think
really?
Winter was 1 week in January. It's over.
Wow.
It's gone.
Oh, don't worry. It'll come back.
No.
It always comes back. Yeah.
Phil, you don't want Trump to get elected over Biden then, right?
No, I can't. I mean, it's you know, who do you want to get in?
Who do I want to get in?
Yeah.
I guess Bozo the Clown would be the first choice, but
he'd be better, that's for sure.
No, actually, I mean, just to be serious, just if you want to talk about the horse race, okay. I'm a socialist. I'm registered as a Green, Green Party, but I voted in the, I live in Florida, and I thought Florida would be a swing state, and that's why I continued to vote for the Democrats, only to stop the other side from getting in power. So just to answer your question, being I come from a state that has a governor who is probably to the right of even Trump, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, Governor DeSantis is really, in my opinion, he's really bad news. So I will unfortunately.
Why do people say that?
Okay, Governor DeSantis, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I don't live in Florida, but what I've been hearing and understanding and reading, and then yeah, the guy isn't likable, but he's trying to protect Florida. In that, we talked about Disney, Chuck and I, last month, the things that Disney stands for and how awful Disney is, and he is, you know, standing up to them. And he didn't lock down Florida. He didn't force the vaccine. There wasn't a medical tyranny in the state of Florida. A lot of people bailed from the state.
Let me ask you if I could. Now, when it comes to the vaccine, it comes to the COVID, I could respectfully disagree with you and any and others who don't believe. All I can say is there's been a lot of right-wing, radio personalities who are no longer with us because they were against masking. Well, let me ask this rhetorical question.
But you don't think that's an infringement on people's rights?
Well, let me give you a question. Let me ask a question. Okay. Let's forget about COVID. Okay. What if you're working in an office and somebody comes in and is coughing and sneezing, right? Coughing and sneezing. Wouldn't you rather that they wore a mask or that you wore a mask?
No, I'd rather they would stay home. But it's a natural
part of life.
But they didn't stay home.
They didn't stay home. They don't. But
okay,
when they don't stay home, what are you going to do?
It's part of life. Wherever you go, whatever situation you're in, you're going to have people showing up with colds. Maybe they can't take off. They can't afford it. They can't stay home. Maybe for whatever reason, we're going to be around sick people all the time, our whole life. There's no getting around it or away from it. There's no being afraid of it. You just have to accept it and try to either avoid the person or help them to not make contact. Or sometimes people do need to be told to go home and,
get
better. Well,
if you talk to the Asian people, they'll tell you a different story, because even with the flu, I mean, if you look at pictures in Japan and other places, they wear masks when there's any sort of a threat of a flu or a virus going around, because it makes sense just to protect yourself from the germs that are coming at you. And
I'm surprised that you do not know that masks are useless and they don't keep anything out. They don't protect anybody from anything.
Okay,
yeah, but that's not what people are wearing.
I wear an N95 when I go into a store. When I go indoors, I usually wear an N95, especially since my wife has an autoimmune, the disorder. But let's not even talk about the COVID, because we can disagree. Let's talk about DeSantis. Well, let me tell you about DeSantis, okay? DeSantis has his state legislature have very severe restrictions and on the gay LGBTQ community.
A woman's right to choose.
A woman's right to choose. I mean, he wants to have a 5 week or a 6 or 8 week. He wants to get rid of abortion completely. He's a man who said that in slavery they did learn skills. He actually said that, by the way. He does forbid the schools to teach about slavery. They don't even want to teach the kids in the junior high school about slavery. So this is the agenda that DeSantis has been running. It's really, I mean, for someone who lives here.
Well, the reason for that is, I mean, it's not, it comes off as, a lot of people think it's anti-gay. I'm sure that there's some of that in there, but it's the pharmaceutical companies are taking over all the schools and they're indoctrinating children with complete lies and disinformation any way they can. You have to take your schools back from
I want to ask you, what are they? You said the pharmaceuticals. What are they doing? You said they're taking over the schools. What are they doing, the pharmaceutical companies?
They put stuff in textbooks, and they manipulate curriculum. I mean, they do it in medical schools. I mean, elementary schools, I'm sure they're doing it in the back door. They're doing it through the nursing office. But in the medical schools and in colleges, they infiltrate it into the medical curriculum that you need.
Well,
what
are they infiltrating? Are you talking about vaccines again? Is that what you're talking about?
Drugs, vaccines, and surgery. That's all they're doing. It's all profit for the drug companies. It has nothing to do with healing or health.
You call yourself a socialist.
I can't believe you wouldn't understand about natural medicine or big pharma.
I go to an acupuncturist, a doctor of Chinese medicine. That's my primary doctor. So, you know, I live a holistic health type of a lifestyle. But what I'm asking you is what think that Governor DeSantis is stopping the pharmaceutical companies? The pharmaceutical
companies run
everything.
No, I don't. I don't think that. But the state of Florida during the lockdown and during COVID, he didn't lock down the state and created a task force that investigated the COVID vaccine.
Right. Okay. So you don't think that the vaccine worked?
In comparison to California, Ron DeSantis is like a savior. I'm saying that for just to exaggerate a little bit. But when you see this clown in California and the stuff he's doing here,
right.
You know, he's completely destroying the state.
But do you think that you think the COVID vaccine was what? That it was wrong? That it's not good? That the vaccine doesn't work?
The vaccine is a bioweapon. It's a death shot.
Do you think that let me ask you a question. Do you think that the vaccine was made in the lab in Wuhan, or was it from the wet markets?
Do you even know? I mean,
how do I know?
Why are you asking me?
I think anybody does.
Why would you put something in your body from a criminal?
No, I'm just making a point.
Why would you support that industry at all?
Because
why would anybody support a drug cartel?
Okay.
And put any
of
their products in their bodies.
I have a nephew.
Somehow we have gotten away. We were talking about DeSantis, and we kind of then got stuck on vaccines.
I agree, right? Because she keeps bringing up that you stay
okay,
in Florida.
All right.
I'm asking.
Both of
you're talking about the governor. We're talking about the stuff he's doing. We're just having a healthy debate.
Let me throw out. One of the things that really bugs me about DeSantis, some election, you know, either the most recent or the one before that, there was a referendum concerning the rights of prisoners, which is a topic that is very important to me, with reinstating the rights of prisoners, and it passed by a fairly significant margin, even in this state of Florida that's a little hard to predict. However, it still has not been implemented because DeSantis found a way
to found a loophole so that he didn't have to do it.
Right.
That, to me, is totally irresponsible and indicative of the type of character that he is.
Well, we have more COVID deaths in Florida per capita, you're going by percentages, than other states, especially in New York or California. And that's because what Avi thinks it was a good thing that he did to not lock down the state and to not mandate people should wear masks indoors. And this is what happens when you run rampant like that. So, you know, I mean, I'm just making a point. You know,
yeah.
it's not black and white.
As far as that particular topic goes, I'm somewhere in between the two of you. I have never gotten a COVID test or a vaccine. I don't do flu vaccines.
Nor do I. I mean, as far as flu goes.
But I'm not convinced that they are horrible. I'm just not willing to do them. So I'm kind of on the fence on that one. So
let's forget about the vaccine. So let's forget about, but if you look at Florida and you look at the governor, the things that he has done are horrible. I mean,
well, what
else?
Besides that, what else? What else?
Okay, yeah, what else?
Besides the thing about slavery, about teaching in schools, putting
there
the pressure on the school teachers, that school teachers are actually leaving the profession here in Florida because of all the mandates and the autocracy, how about this? The banning of books, the burning of books. I mean, this is like Kristallnacht.
I don't think there's actually been any burning of books.
They have burned books. They've done book burnings. Of course they have.
But that's part of human expression. If people want to burn books, it's part of expression.
You know what? Lynching is part of human expression, too.
If they go into a school and burn all the... if they go in and burn Huckleberry Finn because
here's the thing. Wait, let me say something else. We don't know. It could be that the books were full of mold and they weren't readable and they were marked up and pages were ripped out.
There is a significant amount of censorship, although it does apply to the schools. It does not apply. I mean, they can't mandate what a bookstore sells. And in most cases, they can't mandate what a library has on its shelf, but they very much can determine
let me ask the people who are on with me, Avi, how do you feel about the DeSantis in Florida towards transgender?
I'm glad you brought that up because that's what I was just going to say is you're saying he's talking about teaching slavery in the schools and stuff. I think what it was is there was a package that included the diversity, equity, inclusion nonsense, which brings in the transgender nonsense. To me, it's all nonsense. It's all a bunch of garbage to confuse and manipulate and control kids.
Let me ask you, do you think
with that same program, that's why I think he vetoed it or whatever was.
I'm a little confused. How do you feel about his stance, DeSantis, the governor of Florida, his stance on how they treat transgender people?
What is it? Remind me what it is.
Well, they are accusing schools of grooming little boys to be. You know, I had a guy in Indiana once, an old guy I met when I lived in Indianapolis, and we hadn't seen it talk to each other in 15, 20 years. And this guy was going off on they're turning little boys into girls. I mean, this is outrageous. This total mindset, it's scary. It's scary how they're talking about that. You know, I mean, if you don't see the slant against gay people, in this, through the right wing in the country. I mean, they talk about freedom and liberty, right? All you hear them say is freedom and liberty. Meanwhile, they don't practice freedom and liberty.
It doesn't have anything to do with gay people. They're manipulating. Everybody's manipulated in this. They're lumping gay people in with a transgender that has nothing to do with being gay.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So they're using them and lumping them in there and then forcing them upon the gay population and into the flag. It's really sick. I mean, do you think that they should fund surgeries for illegal immigrant children for transgender surgeries? Do you want your tax dollars to fund transgender surgery for kids?
Well, it'd be better than funding the military.
But you know, here's the deal. How do you feel about the
It's a form of mutilation of children. It's a form of abuse and mutilation and control and manipulation of children. It's the same as raping a child. A child cannot consent until they're 18. You cannot consent, no matter what they say. Right, you're talking about transgender and kid, right?
Well, that's
and
just
no,
one little
No, it shouldn't be
aspect.
Taught in schools. It shouldn't be introduced as a real thing. It's a complete farce.
Okay. But so you think that the governor of Florida, you don't think that he has a slant on? Well, how do you feel about abortion?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I believe in choice for sure.
Well, he would like to get rid of abortion.
He's a Republican governor, all those things. But
okay, so
but
you don't care about that? I mean, that doesn't bother you?
It does bother me, but it's part of their agenda. It's just part of it. There's like, I understand that it has nothing to do with them caring about a baby. I know that it has to do with controlling women. No, I think it's completely ridiculous.
Not anymore, he's not.
the man ran for president before he dropped out.
Yes, he ran.
And he was interviewed, and I told you before, he actually said about slavery. Now, this is important because this gives you an angle. They learn skills.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Phil, and
okay.
This has been quite a lively segment.
Quite
We're out of time.
I'm sorry if I got off
track,
but it was fun.
And
that was a lot of fun.
Thank you both.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Talk to you on the other side of station break.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Mountain High Time, 2 hours of an organization to the madness, discussing the ever-changing dynamics of being both physically and mentally prepared for a plethora of possible outcomes to our future and present. A look into the latest technologies, new scientific discoveries, and how they might be used in connection to the human domain and controlling it, ancient cultures and places. Be warned. This is an opinionated look through headlines. Guests that are not afraid to question the narrative. A little bit of crazy ramblings of a stoner conspiracy factist that pushes constitutional concepts. The place and the time are the same, another dimension we call Mountain High Time. Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain High Time. Right here on Revolution.radio, where information never sleeps and truth breaks the spell.
join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the New American Dream Radio Show. We are streaming live on Revolution Radio, listener-supported station. This is Andy Rooney, reporting for the New American Dream Radio Show. Did you ever wonder, well, kind of people we have running our government? If we really knew the truth, I believe we would be astonished. Forget about George Washington and the cherry tree. Ronald Reagan making America strong again? George Bush is riding into the baseball game on national TV to throw out the first ball, then sitting in the front row. Forget about Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, the new liberal Democrats who care about you. SpongeBob, The Simpsons, South Park, Calvin and Hobbes, Snoopy. They have more to tell us than those. At least in the Soviet Union, when they saw nonsense and lies printed in Pravda and TASS, they knew they were lies. We're still at the infancy stage in our development, not questioning the lies. So the next time there's a bombing or a threat of a bombing or a bunch of blue backpacks found on a brown bench in Bemidji, the healthy American. The true American, the real American, thinks CIA, FBI, the police. Real patriot refuses to stand for the national anthem. And rather than another knee-jerk reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance, he says, not until I get some questions answered. Because this This is important stuff. This has been Andy Rooney reporting for the new nightly news. Seriously, people, don't you ever wonder? Mike, I've really missed these bits that you write. They were a big part of our show for the first several years, and well, without since I had to go on my own, it's been more interviews, but I do enjoy having these little vignettes and these little things that make you really think.
They were fun to write, and I have to admit they were kind of a crutch, actually, because they were a way that we would know exactly kind of word for word what we were going to say through the show, and that the old show was scripted. But this new show is something totally different, and that's, you know, you wouldn't have gotten a discussion like the last half hour in our old show.
Yeah.
Got to say that.
That, it's rare that I get a spirited discussion like that. I liked it because even though both parties got excited, they were still polite, and they listened to each other. This is what we need for all of us. We need to be able to listen. We need to be able to express our thoughts, but be willing to listen to other people's too.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, isn't it? Though you get defensive because you've got your ideas,
yeah,
an opposing idea, and you feel like you want to defend, but
is such an important step, and we at least had that.
It's tough to think of that in the heat of the battle, though, but yeah. It is. The show was, I got to tell you that it was, 2011, you said we started, and then you took it on, and I got to, I appreciate that. And you produced all those shows, and Thursday nights were a lot of fun because of that. And I got to thank you. You kept going. What has been four years since I left, and this is very cool, Chuck. And the idea that all these guests hung around, that is really cool. Can't overstate
it
that.
It is cool because, I mean, you know, the thing that makes this show work is the guests. An amazing stable of guests, and you found well over half of them. So I thank you for that. I love the way Ava was talking about how her connection with Rex created a connection with you, and that created a connection with me, and so forth and so on. That's how it's supposed to work. You know, this little informal networking between people. Connecting people to each other. It's such an important thing, I think.
Yep. And she would make those, she would see that where we might not see it. She sees those things. Is she still doing poetry, or
she has some new books out of poetry. And during COVID, she did a series. It was basically what the cat thought about having the humans invading its space, never leaving the house. The cat was not very happy about it. It was that's a fantastic series.
That sounds like fun to work on.
It was a lot of fun. really.
Well, hey, are you gonna? Do you have time here, or do you gotta? Or you gotta call Frank?
Well, I've gotta call Frank, but I don't really have to call him for a little while. So, what you got?
I wanted to ask you about a few people. Is Larry Pinkney still on the show?
He is. He's the third week every month.
Oh, cool.
At 9 o'clock Eastern time, so 8 o'clock your time. Oh, hey, okay. He's almost a neighbor to you, you know?
Well, when we first got here, I sent him an email, and I never heard back, and I don't know if maybe at some point you could send me his email, and maybe I'll tell him, see if I've got that. How about Richard Flamer? How's he doing?
Richard is doing well. He has had a couple of health issues, but he's doing pretty well anyway. Right now, he is back in at the farm in Chiapas.
Oh, good.
Araceli, his wife, is in Des Moines. Every now and then they get to be in the same place together, but it seems like most of the time she's in Des Moines and he's back down there.
Good. Yeah. Is Richard still?
Still a regular on the show. Yeah.
That's cool. How about Anthony Rayson?
Anthony is still a regular on the show, and he was the one that that found us Azura Crispino, who was a regular on the show up until just a couple of months ago when she kind of gave her spot to Mark Jordan, who is a federal prisoner. And I have some difficulty getting Mark's columns, but when I get them, they're great. So we're going to continue to try to make that work.
How does he do that? Does he call you or from the show?
Yes, yeah, he called me, and I have a setup where I can record the calls on my cell phone, and The phone systems now in prisons, it's not all collect calls. Instead, I think that, I don't know, somebody has to pay an exorbitant price. And I think they end up with time that they can call out or something.
Where is he in jail? What prison?
I should know that, but I don't remember.
Federal? Is it federal?
It is federal.
Okay. All right.
What
did he like to talk about?
I've only had a couple, since the most recent one was it was right after the holidays, and so I asked him to focus on what it was like being stuck in that place during a holiday season. So that's kind of what we talked about.
Okay, two more questions. Michael Annis, is he still on? Cool.
Michael Annis is still on, and he is also on the poetry shows, and I need to sometimes he likes to go a little long on the poetry shows because the whole idea is that everybody takes turns, and Michael is he likes to get his he gets the bit and runs with it. But that's okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, enthusiasm is good.
He's a great guy. He has provided musical backup. He's provided other people to cut like a performance poem. He works really hard to create amazing stuff for the New American.
I know. Yeah, I know that. That's awesome. And Karen Kutkowski is like amazing. She, yep. You know, her inside is like top shelf.
Yes. Yes, it certainly is. And she is on in the fourth week of every month. So
Julius is on tonight, huh?
And Julius is on tonight. Yeah.
Cool.
Julius, a few months back, Julius decided that he would prefer to be live instead of pre-recorded. You know, for most of the, you know, many, many years, he always sent me a recording. But now he has decided he likes to be live, and they've gone really well. We've managed to connect properly all but one time, you know, so like, you know, 6 out of 7 or something. So yeah, pretty good. And
what's his country again?
He's in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning over there.
Man, he's got, okay.
Yeah, but he still stays up to do it. Yeah. You know?
That's awesome.
I spoke to him earlier. He said something. He said he was gonna. He likes to set his alarm to make sure that he gets back up because he takes a nap, which is exactly what I would do. Exactly what I do before this show.
Really? Okay. Do we need?
All right.
We need to call Frank.
Yeah, this is a good time to add Frank in. I think that would be great. So let me find the right screen on my computer here. Okay, there we go. Okay. Pulling in Frank Cordero from the Des Moines Catholic Worker. And Frank is a weekly guest. Frank talks about this as being his confessional.
Chuck Gregory.
Frank Cordero, and you know who else is on this show, Frank?
Michael Polacek, you promised me.
How you doing, Frank?
How you doing? Hey. Great for you. I'm just now putting the last child in my care to bed. I'll say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night. All right. That's wonderful. Hey, Michael, it's good to hear your voice. Good to be in your presence in real time, even though we're miles and miles apart and on the phone.
How you doing? You doing well?
Doing well.
Well, you know, I in some ways I live from one via pacis to the next, and we're not putting as many issues out as we used to, which, you know, is indicative to the age also. But I just finished my last article that'll go out in a month or so, trying to assess what it means to grow old in the Catholic Worker. And the title of the talk of the article is Growing Old Ain't for Sissies at the Des Moines Catholic Worker. That's a quote from Betty Davis, that movie star.
How old are you, Frank?
I'll be 73 the 16th of February. I'm in my house, that's a, you know, I'm just a short hitter. Reverend Bob Cook is 80, and he's living with us. And Eddie Bloomer is 77. and he's with us. And then we also have Annie Patton, who's like 63, an African-American woman that's been with us for, 20 years. And she's got a handicap, walks with a walker. Poor girl, she's just recovering from colon cancer surgery and has to do 3 months of chemo. So we'll be walking that with her. And then the new thing in my life, because I'm at the biggest house at the house, the Manning house is a large house. We've taken in our Honduran family that we've had for a year, and they've moved in. The last 6 months, they've moved over into this house, and I'm really captured by their kids. They're just of, I just have got to be very, very close, very, very quick. I'm getting all the experiences of a grandfather and great-grandfather with this family, and I'm just tickled pink. On the other hand, they have a legion of issues that they're up against, and how to keep them away from the INS people, get any kind of papers we can get. Pretty bleak at this point. So we're in it for the long haul. We've already thrown thousands of our own monies to help pay for their legal stuff, and there may be a lot more to come. So that's kind of the spread that I'm, and I haven't even left the house I'm living in or talked about the other workers. But the good side of that is that Julie Brown is occupying with her husband Mohammed the Rachel Corey house, and Julie is back from frontline duty in Kurdistan, Iraq, working for Christian peacemakers. Tough stuff. She married Mohammed, and they're now in Des Moines and hoping to continue that kind of work in Des Moines. And then in the Berrigan house, where I was hoping to do my retirement, Araceli is there. Araceli's the wife of Richard Flamer from Chiapas. She's going to be doing emphasizing some kind of refugee immigration work. Really excited about that. So we just don't have any young people. That's a problem. But the other thing that we're kicking up dust, we really, to be a Catholic worker is also to be a praying, faithful community. And we're starting to reestablish a weekly liturgy at the house with the bread and the wine. And I'm co-presiding, which is problematic, with a woman Roman Catholic priest, which is also problematic for the local bishop. So drive them right up the wall doing that. But, I really don't care anymore. Reverend Amy is just a top of the notch human being. She came to us over a year ago at around the same time the Honduran family came, and she helped. She's been helping us work stuff with them. She prays. I'm revisiting the whole concept of functioning apostolic priesthood without church cover, and mostly for the church's sake. I'm not interested in leaving the Catholic Church. I'm just a Catholic who's a dissident Catholic to the current den of thieves running the church. I mean, I use the phrase intentionally because that's what Jesus called the collaborators with the temple who worked with the Romans. I mean, really, our church does that. Mm-hmm. I now understand.
Frank. Yes, Frank. Sir. Do you know what we Episcopalians call a Roman Catholic who converts to be an Episcopalian?
I call him a short hitter, but go ahead. What do you call him?
We call them a Reformed Catholic.
Ah, Reformed Catholic. Well, I thought I'd throw that in. It's true. I really have a problem with our church's whole issues on gender and stuff. Obviously, I'm a thinking human being, but that isn't the real issue. As I've spoken often in this show, The real issue isn't the all-male celibate hierarchy, kind of funky and weird as it is. The real issue has to do with wealth, war, and empire. And in that regard, Catholics, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, non-denominational, evangelicals, they're all the same. They buy into the cult of American war, American wealth, and American empire. And any fair reading of the gospel, I say, would lead us otherwise. But we've gone through all that. The other thing I want to make sure Michael knows that we're still engaged with and real important work is that big support person for Jessica Resnicek. She calls.
Now I got
an
email today.
Yeah. She's in lockdown.
She's in the hole.
So that's a she's in the hole.
Yeah.
The scene there. Well, it's confidential because she just doesn't want to raise any issues. It's not anything serious. And she's still working within the system in her framework to try to get some clemency, whether that happens or not is hard to believe. But it's like the system has like 500 rules. You all know that. And then 40 of them really matter. And then the others are just about money, good control, and, you know, just discipline bullshit.
Wow.
And that's the stuff she got. She works in the cafeteria. She got caught with food and stuff. So and a 60-day bit in the disciplinary hole is just that's a minor infraction. There's nothing less than 60 days. That's their sound. They kick the shit out of them. You know, I think of Jess, and I've been walking with her. Oh, now for over 10 years, I fell in love with her almost immediately. I haven't stopped loving her. We've just changed and grown, and I love her now more than ever, and I believe in her now more than I love her. So I'm so impressed with her spirit. However, this is the character that we got locked up. This is how I've seen it. This is how she's playing out. If you go see Cool Hand Luke, think of a female Cool Hand Luke, and that's Jessica Resnicek. And she's trying to avoid getting in trouble and starting a fight in the system, but there's something in her that I don't know if she's going to get out without having a major confrontation, because she has integrity. And she's living in a system that has no integrity. They're brutal. They're awful people. The system that is working right now is so much worse than it was when I was locked up, especially with the COVID hitting the whole institution. If you have any sense of how badly the medical scene is working, or anybody who's trying to get people to get service from people, so all the things that everybody's systems right now are not working well, and the prison system is not working even worse. They're not even hitting the mark that they say they want to hit. So it's and mostly because of money, staffing, institutional bullshit. But in that system, the shit always goes down, and it ends up with the heads of the inmates. It's really a cruel thing. But that's also part of what this show is all about, and what you were all about, Michael, when you were trying to start this thing so many years ago. Yeah. Have you talked to the folks about what you're doing?
Yeah. I've been walking a dog for 4 years.
That's not that's true. You've got some books you published.
Yeah. I do that.
Right now, I walk kids to school, so it's fun.
It is. I bet it is.
Yes.
And especially in Iowa, good old Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How long has Jessica been in?
Well, she's been in 2.5 years. She's got an 8-year bit. So.
Wow.
And I don't see how she's going to her domestic terrorist status. Does not allow her to avail any kind of free time, get a year off, do this, go to that program, do that. She's got a $3 million a fine to pay when she gets out. So that's something she's never going to get out of. Yeah, that's where we're at. Yeah.
Did the person who went in with her, is she, how much time?
Ruby. Ruby got 6 years. Ruby, she's in a joint somewhere in Texas. And that's completely disconnected with us, completely. And that's at this point, it's so sad. I mean, Ruby got 6 years. Now, Ruby got 6 years, and the judge said to her, Miss Montaigne, when she sentenced her, she says, I'm looking at your records, and there seems to be three different Miss Montaignes that are presented to the court here. The first one is the one that did the action and did all the speaking and did the brave thing and noble thing. And then she says, then there's this second one who's making excuses and turning on people and naming people. And a third one who's just over the top, kind of like, because they broke her. She had a mental episode. She couldn't take it. Even the federal government at sentencing couldn't use her with her efforts, lies, to get out of going to jail. She just went nuts. Tragic. So the judge says, I'm going to sentence you with the first Montaigne that was presented. And she gave her 6 years with the domestic terrorist enhancement thing. If she would have stuck with Jess and not said a thing, that would have been the sentence she would have got. So it's it's really a sad commentary. The hope and wish that I've articulated, and I've told Jess this, although she says I'm not ready to deal with this, is that someday they got to reconcile. The two of them.
Yeah.
Because that's how the government, they set up people to do awful things to each other. And this is really one of the awful parts of Jess and Ruby's walk, is that they were divided out of the fear of going to jail, and Ruby cracked. So that's sad. And may they live long enough to be healed of that shit.
It's really, it's hard to see something like that. And you know, you have to wonder, you know, if I were in that situation, what would I do?
You know, all I know is the wonder is that I was very close to that situation. Loved both these young women dearly.
Yeah. Yes,
much closer to Jess. I'm so sad for Ruby. What plagues me is that I wonder if I had a chance, would I've acted with him? Would I've had enough courage to act with him? Those are the questions I'm asking. Then, of course, the other question is, that was the last thing Jess wanted to happen. She was trying to make sure I didn't know anything was going on. So it was quite an experience, and it's marked me, and I'm part of the story, and I'm advocating for the reconciliation, but that's all I'm doing. I'm not making any moves one way or the other, because Ruby is still in a tough spot, and I don't even know if she welcomed any kind of input. So I don't know what's going on with Ruby, except I hope in the long run, as we walk together in the future, that the two of them can reconcile and some healing can happen. That's what I'm hoping.
I hope so.
So, how's the show going? How long do we have to talk? What do we got to do here, Michael? talk to me. This is so out of the normal.
In about 5 minutes, I'm going to be switching over to our final guest of the evening, Julius Awafong, joining us from Yaoundé, Cameroon. So we're kind of freeform for the next 5 minutes or so. I've been enjoying this conversation, so I vote we just.
Let me do 20 questions with our friend on the phone here. Talk to me about Ruth and your babies and your kids.
Well, they're here, and we're having fun. We Ruth takes care of the grandkids, and I walk the dog. And, that's about what we do. I don't know. It's different than being up in Duluth. We up there, I would take a lot of walks in the woods. Here, it's the city, and I guess I got to get used to it. But it's okay. It's not bad.
Oh, I love walking too. It's the best thing I do all day. Yeah.
What's that?
Do you do any city stuff, Mike?
Do I do any city stuff?
Yeah.
Well,
in the city, yeah. Well, I go by the river. The Catholic worker, I walk a mile to the river and walk another half mile.
No, I was asking Mike. I'm wondering. Oh. Do you go to? Do you go into the city? Do you?
Well, we're in the city. We're in South Minneapolis.
Right, but I mean, do you go out and see people? Do you go to, like, you know, what do I do? I do.
Chuck's trying to ask you whether you have a social life or not.
Exactly. Well, that's my question. Thank you, Frank.
Sorry.
Not if they're not walking a dog. I don't see them.
Oh, man.
Michael, I was thinking you were kind of facetious when you were saying you're walking the dog, like that's a nice characterization. And I'm sure you do have a dog. But you're saying this is really all I do.
No, I knew that was real.
I do more than that. I also go to the dog park.
As long as you keep writing and getting that stuff out.
Yeah.
Of course, it's been therapeutic for you, but it's really good stuff because it cuts through the bullshit with the fiction that's more real than the goddamn news we get.
You know, Mike, this would be a perfect time for you to tell us a little about your most recent books. Because, you know, you are just an amazing writer. And so let's hear what's going on.
Hey, man.
Oh, there's the most recent are called The Elephant with the Auschwitz Tattoo. That's the one. And the other one is called The Commission. And I did a since we've been here, I think we've been here a little over 2 years.
2 years.
I did a series of books. I think there was like a dozen of them. And the main characters are peaceniks who went to Russia after the fall of Berlin Wall. And they got recruited by the KGB to come back here and start the revolution by telling the truth about American history. So I took that for about as long as I could, 11 or 12 books, and I'm starting another one now. I just every time I end one, I say that's it. And then I go for a dog walk and I think of something and I think, well, one more. And I think it's just something I just can't stop, I guess. I don't know. I enjoy it.
The rest of us are lucky that you can't. So,
okay. Amen.
All right.
The books have a kind of like a very compelling, crazy look, outrageous look at a compelling and outrageous world that's more real than the book. But the book is just trying to describe it, which is hard to do in real time. So you got to just jump off the reality thing and tell a story that's so absurd that, oh, my God, you're hitting the truth.
Frank, that's exactly it. That's exactly it when you're trying to write fiction about this. It gets a little crazy.
Probably 15 years ago, I wrote a review of one of Mike's books at the time, and I mentioned that there was more truth in fiction than in the news or that you ever see in nonfiction. And I still stand by that remark.
Well, now listen, I'll give you some biblical backing for you. Take the book of Job, for example. That's a Mighty Python type of Saturday Night Live gig. Because the opening scene of Job is God's in heaven sitting down having a good time, and the devil's walking by and saying, and God says, hey, look, devil, look at my boy Job. Look what he's doing. And the devil says, well, that's because you give him everything he needs. He's got a wife, blah, blah, blah. So why don't you just take away his wife, kill his wife, or take his wife, his wealth, and everything. And that, man, that's all Mighty Python. That's a joke. That's how they end. And then they talk about why do bad things happen to good people. I mean, they always come out and say, well, that's what Job's all about. Yeah, but they're telling it in a Mighty Python type scene. God talking to the devil like he's making a deal. Now, that's absurd. Yeah. But there's no truth or book in Job talking about why bad things happen to people. I'm just
saying.
That's
very good.
Oh, yeah.
Did you use that in a sermon once?
Yeah, I used to use these things. No one listens to me anymore.
Frank, did you ever write that life story, that biography?
I have written 6 books. I just don't have an editor or a publisher for any of them. I've got stuff on scripture. I've got stuff on. I can have a book just on the 5 bishops I've known. You know, I can go through all of that shit. I have all the Catholic Worker stuff. I have I have radical church stuff. I've got bulletins. My God, I got almost as much writing as you got, but none of mine is published. So I don't know. What are you going to do? I'd like to see it before I die, but what?
So that's kind of a project. I thought maybe you talked about that.
Oh, I've been looking for an editor and a publisher for a long time. I just haven't had anybody interested. I don't know if I'm even looking that strong, but I bitch and moan. It makes a good bitch and moan, you know. Nobody's listening to me. I get nobody. This is my line now. Nobody's listening to me. I'm shut out, shunned locally. And I got attitude problems. I do have attitude problems.
Yeah, you do. You do.
I do. I wonder why no one at a university wants to talk to me when I go there and I say, the problem with the university is you're the problem, you know. And if you guys don't see it, you know, let me tell you why. And, you know, who wants to hear that shit? So, yeah. So now I'm grandfather.
It's good to hear your voice.
All right, Michael. Good to hear yours, too. Walk that dog, yes. Baby. Keep writing those books. All right, I love you, buddy. All right.
Take care.
We'll see you later.
Thank you, bye-bye. Frank.
Thank you, bro. All right, bye-bye.
All right. Wow, very nice having Frank, and it's great having you here, Mike. Really, really fun.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
All right. Well, we have one more guest tonight. It's Julius Alaphong joining us from Yaoundé, Cameroon. So, let me get him on here, and he has assured me that he's ready and awake, which considering the hour over there is really shows a lot of dedication. Here we are, Julius Alaphong joining us from Yaoundé, Cameroon. He should be on the call in very shortly. And Julius has been a part of this show for, I think, 8 years or so. Early. Yeah. And all right. Well, let's see. Why is this not joining? Well, we may be having a little trouble getting in touch with him, but we're going to try again. Sometimes it's this is what live radio is all about. Sometimes you have little glitches, so we'll see what happens here. I don't know why this isn't working. Well, it says it's number unavailable. I'm going to try connecting a different way, and if this doesn't work, then Mike and I will just do the rest of the show. It'll be fine. But let's see if we can get Julius Awafong in from Cameroon. Just one more try. Okay, we're going to try again. I got a text back from him to please call back. So hopefully it will work this time.
Hello, Chuck.
Hello, Julius. I'm here with Mike Palachek.
Right.
Yeah. Hi, Julius. How are you doing? Hello, Julius.
I'm fine, Mike. I'm fine. It's been a long time.
Long time.
It
has. Yeah.
Wait,
yeah. You've been doing good? You've been doing good?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thank you.
Okay, I don't want to cut into your time here.
Yeah, it's okay. Thank you. So this time, a look on three African issues, three African countries. In Ethiopia, it has been reported that nearly 400 people have died due to starvation. Millions are in need of food aid. Now, when you hear something like this, you start questioning yourself where we are heading to, because Ethiopia is known as one of the booming African states, where they have a good economy, especially when you look about their airlines, talk about Ethiopian Airlines, and they are dominating in Africa in terms of air transportation. But then, where do we get these statistics of 400 Ethiopians dying of food starvation? When you dig, you find out that most of these issues stem from the fact that conflict still dominate in Africa. Conflicts of secession or separation. And when this happens, governments tend to neglect people who side with the secession groups. But the question now is, why will a country that is booming economically even get to the point of people wanting to secede? That raises the issue of inclusivity. People are not included in the management of the state. They are pushed aside, and only a little group benefits from the fallout of these business ventures. And then again, that puts the country in such a situation. And the groups have concluded that most of these people are found in the regions of Tigray. Tigray is one of the regions fighting to break away from the main Ethiopian state. And not far from Ethiopia, you go to Sudan. We got that 52 people were killed in clashes in the disputed oil-rich African region of Abyei. This happened when gunmen attacked villagers in this oil-rich region, and killing these 52 people, including UN peacekeeper, a UN peacekeeper, and 64 were wounded. So the motive for this attack, as we found out, was not immediately clear, but it was suspected to revolve around a land dispute. Again, this comes in with the issue of ethnic groups. Because most African states were indiscriminately constructed by the West without considering if the different ethnic groups were compatible. That is, they were forced, I say this all the time, they were forced to belong. And their incompatibility led to conflict most of the time. So this land dispute, according to the minister, was mostly between some ethnic groups, especially the Dinkas of South Sudan. So it has been termed that this deadly ethnic violence has been in the region where you have the Dinka tribal members from the neighboring Wadab state who are locked in a land dispute with the Ngok Dinka from the Abbey over an area located at the border. And this area is rich in oil. So that again puts Africa in this issue of ethnic conflict, which always gets people killed all the time. And if we move from Ethiopia, we go to Ghana. Ghana is the first African country to gain independence from the colonial masters. That's the first African country. And it was led after its independence, a series of coup d'etats shipped Ghana. And Ghana is considered as one of Africa's greatest democracies. Yes. But unfortunately, recently, it is found that three soldiers have been sentenced to death for a coup plot, a military coup plot. I think I discussed some time ago here about military coup d'etats in Africa. And we found out that the coup d'etats we had before 1990s, that's before the rebirth of multi-party politics, are almost equal to the number of coup d'etats we have from the 1990s to date in Africa. That is, failed coup d'etat, attempted coup d'etats, and successful coup d'etats all combined. The number of them we had between 1960 to 1990, 30 years, are almost equivalent to the number of coup d'etats we had from 1990 to 2024, where we are today. That's almost 30 years apart. Now, Ghana is Africa's most old, most advanced democracy. But now we still have people who have been sentenced to death for a coup plot. The intriguing question is, why will a country considered as one of the most advanced countries still having coup d'etats? So behind this hidden projection of Africa's greatest democracy still lies some major contempt against the state. So, will the sentencing of these soldiers put an end to the quest for coup d'etat to change things? The answer is obviously no, because the government has to step up its governing practices. Why do people stage coup d'etats? Many reasons have been given. I wrote an article on that, which we will publish soon. Many reasons are given for the reason behind military coup d'etats in Africa. The first reason is corruption and poverty. If you govern and you promote corruption and poverty in your governance, in the way you govern. And this corruption is not only economic corruption, it is also political corruption.
Mm.
You rig elections, you force some people to belong where they are not supposed to be. That you put aside the meritorious people, and you allow those who are unmerited due to favoritism or ethnic leaning, you put them on board the governing mechanism. It makes some people to feel unhappy and to feel sidelined. And the only way for them to communicate that they are not feeling happy is the practice of coup d'etat. And that's where most of Africa is. Another reason for the resurgence of coup d'etat in Africa, especially in Ghana, is because coup d'etat has been considered in the past as one of the methods to call government to order. And I was reading Bill Clinton's, the former American president, he wrote a book, My Life. I think that's the title, My Life, yes. Somewhere he said he really likes J.J. Rawlings. J.J. Rawlings was one of Ghana's president who came to power through a coup d'etat. And when he got to power, he used his strength to put the country on track by killing all those who were mismanaging state resources. They shot them, killed and cleaned the government of the government that time from those who were carrying out ill practices against the state. So he took them to the firing squad, and they were all killed.
Mm.
But that was in the 1960s and the 1970s.
Mm.
Now, the question is, was that a good
Julius,
solution?
Julius, we're unfortunately out of time. I wish we could go on here, but I'm going to have to cut you off. Thank you so much for being part of this show, and I look forward to talking to you next time.
Yeah, Mike,
thank you so much for hosting.
Thank you, Mike.
Take care, Julius.
Yes, I'll be back
next one.
Good night.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you